Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Should be mad. You Okay. I learned a lot about emotions when I got married. I only ever had four emotions before I got married. Those four emotions were hungry, horny, constipated, and sleepy. Some days I'd be hungry and sleepy at the same time, and I'd just be just so much emotional conflict. I wouldn't know what to do. And then I got married, and my wife has emotions they don't even have names for. And about the time I figure out what it is, we're on another one. They just keep coming. I'm going to pay for that later, but it's the truth. I'm trying to tell y'all the truth. I'll risk my life to tell y'all the truth in here. See, as Hallie was saying in the introduction, emotions are neither bad nor good. I don't know what, you can't really have a righteous emotion or something like that. It doesn't quite make sense. You know, it's just, I don't think emotions can do that. But emotions can be based on a truth or a lie, right? True. Sometimes we'll have an emotion that gets 900 miles up the road before we figure out if it's based on a fact or not. You know, I had a buddy of mine call me up, and I mean, he was just broke down, crying, sobbing. I couldn't even get him to tell me what it was. You wouldn't believe what happened. You know, it was 15 minutes just to, finally I said, look, dude, you know, just what, and it turns out he's, my girlfriend cheating on me. I said, what do you think, is because of crying in the phone like this, or was it other things that led to it, you know? Because I'm beginning to sympathize with her a little right now. I'm on the wrong side of this right now. But she said, well, look, you know, I got, you know, he said, you know, she's cheating on me, and she, you know, I'm so upset and whatever. And so I started saying, well, I mean, how did you find out about this? I mean, did you catch her with this other guy? And no, but she took a phone call and she wouldn't tell me who it was that called. So, and you say, you know, did you wake me up in the middle of the night bawling to me and you don't even know one? His emotions is 100 miles down the road. It was a sure thing in his mind. But the facts of the case weren't even in yet. You know, I think sometimes, as Lee was saying, we have to take those thoughts and arrest them. We have to do a little bit of investigation to find out whether there's some truth behind these feelings that we have sometimes. It's hard to control emotions, too. They have a way of being kind of slippery, you know. They have a way of being hard to... You can't just be in the middle of feeling grumpy and just, you know, flip a switch and just be happy. That's not possible for me. But what we can change is our thought process. We can change the way we think about things. We can change the way that we picture what's going on in our lives, the way we work out what all this stuff means. Our thought life is more in control, under our control than our emotional life, and I think that's where the focus ought to be. You know, the Bible talks a lot about our flesh, and it talks a lot about our spirit, but the mind and all this mental stuff we're talking about here, this emotional stuff is kind of stuck in between. And the Bible says that, you know, our flesh and our spirit war with each other. And our mind is kind of that battleground, isn't it? Where all that fighting takes place. So I think the way that we manage our thought process, the way we manage our emotions and the stuff going on in our mind has a lot to do with who's going to win that battle. So these things are very important. And it's important to learn how to control those emotions. Emotions have a way of clouding things. You know, I see a lot of Christians that try to use emotion in sort of a positive way to get their walk, you know, going. You know, you go to some churches and they are trying to emotionally, you know, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm like, you know, dude, I'm as excited as I'm going to get this early, so let's move this service along. I mean, let's hit the buffet, dude. I'll be praise the Lord for that. You know, we just drive it to the hoop. You know, I make your point here. So we have this whole thing about trying to use emotion to help us in our walk. But the problem is, you can get me wound up on Jesus and all excited on Sunday, but Monday when I get back to my real life, all those emotions are gone, and I just got to deal with the world as it is. You understand? I can't use emotions to do that. Emotions cloud things. They confuse things. They keep us from seeing how they really are. So I'm not trying to use all that in a way to help my walk. I want to figure out how to take control of them, arrest them, and change my thought process, as we're talking about here. The truth is, having that understanding is the key. Having that understanding what the facts are in the situation are more important. But we have this way, don't we, of either overreacting way too much or underreacting and just blowing and letting and stuffing that down, you know? You know, there's some guys, I don't know if y'all have ever seen that, you're at the job site or you're at whatever your work is, and that guy gets fired and makes the scene on the way out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just yelling and pushing things over, and I don't care about it. I'm better than this place. And you know, and they're trying to drag him out, and he's holding on to something. And, you know, and you think, if you showed this much passion for this job, then you wouldn't be fired now. This guy would casually not show up for work day after day, and then they finally gets fired, and now here's all this, you know, care and concern and drama and emotion and all this. But we have this way of pressing the stuff down, pressing it down, and then it just blows up on us, doesn't it? You know, that you've heard about the anger sack. Have you all heard about the anger sack? You know, that's when you take all those things that you're angry about, and instead of dealing with that, you just put it in that sack and you carry it around, and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, and you then another thing you're angry about, and you put that in, and pretty soon it's weighing you down and you can barely carry all these things that you're angry about, and somebody comes along and makes you angry about one thing too many, and you hit them over the head with that anger sack. this one person gets the whole download of everything you know, it's all coming out on this one person here, you know. All of us have been there, but I think it's this process of putting it in that sack that creates this problem later on. Y'all follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have a way, whatever, you're still feeling it. Just because you put it and stuffed it down somewhere, you're still feeling that underneath, and it's still messing with you. It's still, you know, getting all that bitterness and negativity is still going somewhere underneath the surface, and it's gonna come to the forefront. So let's look at a couple of verses about that, about self-control. A man who can't control himself is like a city whose walls are broken down. Well, I've known a lot of people like that. I've been that person, really, if I'm going to be honest. You know, the many times where I will either stuff it down or I'll be out of control, but I won't really control myself. I won't have boundaries up that are healthy and strong and stuff. Let's look at another verse here. Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Wow. See, control yourself. And we can't control all those other people trying to make us angry, trying to mess with us, trying to provoke us, trying to get a rise out of us. But he says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. But we have a lot of those triggers, don't we? We have a lot of things trying to trigger our emotion. You know, if you turn on the news, they will give you 100 things to be emotional about before you cut it back off. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be emotional about any of it. I mean, I want to care about certain things. There's certain things that are important to me and important to my family and important to me as a Christian and those kind of things. But they'll get me, you know, upset about things. I don't know this person. I don't know what's going on with it. And his brother was testifying, when it comes to reality television, oh my Lord, my wife would turn this on. And I try to tell her, we know real people with problems and actual drama. You don't have to turn on the TV. I'll dial the phone and hand it to you. You could just, you know, and maybe you could fix some of that. But the it's 100 million things to be emotional about. And the problem is we have this mentality about a lot of it is that you can't have no opinion about it, right? You know, here's this, you know, tragedy. Here's this conflict. Here's this awful thing that happened. And you think, well, I'd be a jerk not to have an opinion about that. And next thing you know, you're walking around with 100 different opinions and 100 million different things driving you nuts and making you angry, and it's building and it's building and it's building. You realize somebody is manipulating me into being this way. I have to decide what it is I want to invest in emotionally, what I want to be passionate about, what I want to be excited about, what I want to be angry about, what I want to be, you know, concerned about. Those things I want to be careful and choose myself rather than let the TV choose it for me, if y'all follow what I'm saying. You have to figure out where is the proportion in this thing. You know, that yes, I care about this awful thing that happened on the news. That's down here. What happens to the men and women in this room is way up here to me. This is a much bigger concern. I know you. I'm dealing with you. I'm trying to help you. That's a big deal to me. What happens is the rest of the world, they're going to have to, I'm not dealing with them. They're going to have to sort themselves out. I'm just with this room here is what I'm dealing with. And that's enough work for one little man, for heaven's sake. So I'm going to focus on that, and I'm not going to allow myself to be taken off my square and distracted. The final thing, very last point, and I'm coming right in on what Lee said. Lee said that God understands your feelings, understands how you feel. I think sometimes we worry that God will judge us for the way that we feel and tell us that we're wrong and tell us that we're bad to have those feelings. But if God is perfect and he understands it all and he knows it all, wouldn't he have some understanding about your feelings? Wouldn't he say, yeah, of course it makes sense that you feel this way. This person's acting crazy. And of course you would feel upset and frustrated and all of those things. Here's what the Bible says about all this. We're not just making this up. We have a high priest. He's talking about Jesus now. He says, we have a high priest who can feel it when we are weak and hurted. We have a high priest who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, but he did not sin. That's Jesus talking about. He can feel it when we're weak and hurting, when we struggle, when we're dealing with stuff. Jesus knows that. He understands that. He had people accuse him of stuff. He had people badmouth him. He had people messing with him and tempting him. He knows what that's like. So when you come to him in prayer and say, I've got this awful negative emotion and it's driving me nuts, I need your help with that, God's going to understand. Amen? All right, that's it. We love you.